Big show for you here today. Ray Garvin makes his triumphant return to the Yahoo Fantasy Forecast to pick our favorite players going in each round of Yahoo drafts right now. Yes, that's right. We go back and forth and give our favorite picks in round one, round two, round three, all the way through round 15 for some really deep sleepers there. All that and more coming up on today's show. Let's get into it. What's going on, everyone? I'm Matt Harmon. Welcome to the Yahoo Fantasy Forecast, and it is a hell of a day to talk ball, because joining me to talk a little ball, to make his triumphant return here to the Yahoo Fantasy Forecast, it is the one, the only, our good friend, Ray Garvin. Ray, what's going on, buddy? How you doing?
Matt, you look great. I'm loving the glasses, man. I'm loving the vibe. I'm happy to be back. Football is here, the Yahoo family in the building. Chat, run it up, talk to us. But hell yeah, baby, you know, they had to bring a little motion back. So they got your boy Ray G back on the channel, bucket hat vibes. You know
what I'm saying?
The cowboy hat will come out at the appropriate time. It's a little too early, We got a lot of time for that. But no, I'm feeling good. Football is around the corner. And anytime I get to jump on here and talk ball with you, Matt, it's a pleasure, man. So excited for this season. Excited to chop it up with you and the whole crew this year, and let's have a good one, man.
No doubt, dude. I mean, listen, it's great to see you. You look great. The bucket hat looks incredible. And you know, it's still summer, because that's why the bucket hat is still appropriate. It's still summer. You know, we're still having the real people out there are still having fun. Not us. We are locked into the content, which is why I have to wear the glasses here at, you know, 4 p.m. Eastern, because my eyes have been blared into this screen for hours and hours on end to produce what you guys need, which is that good, sweet, sweet fantasy football content. Because football's in the air, man. I mean, we've got Kenny Pickett versus Carson Beck on deck on Thursday. Maybe we get the Hall of Fame game coming up. I mean, I feel like every time the announcement goes out that Kenny Pickett is starting for the Carolina Panthers, I feel like people are actually photoshopping his hands smaller and smaller around the football. Like, we got Carson Beck, you know, starting. I mean, football is in the air, man. We love to see it, Ray.
Yeah, we do. And I know as I'm getting a little older in life, I'm learning to appreciate these moments, because in the past, I'm like, I don't want to see no damn Carson Beck and Kenny Pickett. And now, Matt, I'm like, hey, I need to see what Jimmy Horn Jr. is looking like. You know, I want to see what some of these backups look like. Are there any sleepiest of sleepers available in these Hall of Fame games? But ultimately, we have been deprived and without football for so long. I'm just kind of happy that it's back, man. So hell yeah, sign me up for the Hall of Fame game. Give me some Carson Beck. Give me some Kenny Pickett, and then we'll talk about it come next week.
Well, you know, this is someone that does a lot of prospect work too. Sometimes, like, this is the only shot you're going to get to see somebody, you know, that you spent real deal earth hours, like I did, like a Reggie Virgil, charting him for the draft this year. This might be the only time I see Reggie Virgil play in the NFL for the Cardinals in the preseason. So that is why I do like tuning into the preseason. But listen, we are not talking about Kenny Pickett. We're not talking about Carson Beck. We certainly are not talking about Reggie Virgil or Jimmy Horn Jr. on the show today, because what Ray and I are going to do here is we are going to go through our favorite picks in all 15 rounds of Yahoo drafts right now. We're going to go round by round to identify our favorite picks here. We're going to put 15 together, not full rosters. Okay, there was some confusion maybe by one of the hosts on this show about if we're doing any of that. These are not rosters that we're putting together here, okay? These are just our favorite picks in every round. So without any further ado, Ray, to welcome you back to the show, who's your favorite pick in the first round of Yahoo drafts right now in this moment?
Okay, so I'm just going to set the table here, right? I know Bijan got a big deal. Love him. I'm sure you do too. I love Gibbs as well, but I didn't want to go Bijan or Gibbs here.
A player it's cheating to do anyone in the top five. It's cheating.
Okay. So no, I'm not crushing Puka or Jamar Chase, but I really love Jonathan Taylor. I really, really love Jonathan Taylor in round one. Yahoo ADP is coming off the board, at least when we last checked, right around what, RB3, RB4, you know, right around pick 7 in a standard 10-team league. But this is a player, I think, because of how the Colts season ended last year with Daniel Jones and the Achilles tendon tear, and Jonathan Taylor pretty much really going south from where he was prior to that Germany week, right? Where he had, what, 200 yards, 4 touchdowns. You kind of forget just how dominant he was last year. I mean, he was in conversation when the Colts were running the AFC South and everything looked great for NFL MVP, like maybe 2,000 yards for Jonathan Taylor. There it is right there on the screen. 18 rushing touchdowns, 5 yards a tote. He was phenomenal. And as you get to, you know, you're looking at the other running backs and the other situations, like there's nobody behind JT. No DJ Giddens, no Seth McGowan.
Yeah.
We're still kind of trying to figure out what the offense as a whole is going to look like. The market's got him projected around 42 touchdowns, which is solid, right? You want to bet on good offensive environments. Alec Pierce is banged up right now. But JT had 82 rushing first downs last year, number one in the NFL. So nobody moves the sticks better than JT. He also had almost 70 red zone carries, which was second in the NFL. The goal line role is his. The rushing share is his. And what I appreciated most about his game last year, Matt, was he was involved in the receiving game. You're not going to confuse him for a Christian McCaffrey type receiver out of the backfield. But if you miss out on Gibbs or Bijan Robinson and you really want to pick a running back in round one, I do not think you can go wrong with Jonathan Taylor this year.
Yep, I'm with you. I have him eighth overall right now, just one spot behind the guy I'm going to talk about here next, actually. But yeah, Jonathan Taylor, I think, look, he was looking like the smash of all smashes in fantasy football prior to Daniel Jones getting injured. And Daniel Jones, man, by all accounts, I saw Ben Solak of ESPN saying this, like he's from at Colts training camp, saying, if you didn't tell me that that was an injured quarterback, I wouldn't know that that was an injured quarterback. So it looks like Daniel Jones looking pretty good. You also wonder too, Ray, Jonathan Taylor, obviously you mentioned he's not Bijan Robinson. He's not Jahmyr Gibbs, any of those guys. You know, Christian McCaffrey certainly is a receiver. That being said, 39 catches last year. You could maybe see him push north of 50 if Daniel Jones, while looking good, you know, isn't fully healthy. He's checking the ball down a little bit more, which is, again, how you can just kind of inflate that floor just a little bit for JT, who obviously already is in a really good spot.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's one of those things, you look at this Colts offense as well, you know, not having Michael Pittman there, who did a lot of damage short and intermediate. I do think there is some hidden receiving upside in the Jonathan Taylor profile. We got him projected for close to 1,400 yards, 300 carries. I've got him a little higher than that. So I think that just his ability to run the ball, to be involved in the receiving game, makes him a rock solid running back pick back there as the fourth running back off the board. And again, I'm not really worried about DJ Giddens or Seth McGowan behind him. It should be a healthy dose of Jonathan Taylor in this offense. So I love him right here, ADP of 7.
Yes, love Jonathan Taylor as that pick. Also love you, Darth Stella, in the YouTube chat. That's right. We are acknowledging the YouTube chats, okay? Sent in, Ray and Matt are the best. Bunch of fire emojis. Appreciate it. I will say, Ray, one thing maybe we aren't the best at is some of this communication, because you did picks based off 10 team leagues. I did 12 teams. So, you know, we're still in preseason here, okay? We're still working out. We're installing the offense, okay? I'm on 7-step drops. You're on 5-step. We're working this whole thing out, but exactly. But you know who doesn't need any training camp? You know who knows his offense front, back, forwards, all the whole deal, is Amon-Ra St. Brown of the Detroit Lions, going off the board as the 8th pick right now in Yahoo drafts. As I mentioned, I have him ranked as the 7th overall player. If you're getting a pick in the back half of the first round, I love landing on Amon-Ra St. Brown this year, who I have ranked ahead of Justin Jefferson. I have ranked ahead of Jaxon Smith-Njigba this year, because my theory is, Ray, for basically the rest of time, this guy is going to be ranked as the wide receiver 4 or wide receiver 5, and he's going to finish every year as the wide receiver 3, which is pretty much what has happened for each of the last 2 seasons. He is just a set it and forget it, 90 plus catches, bare minimum, every year. He has gotten better and better in the NFL. I don't think people realize how much better he's gotten against press coverage in isolated situations. 50% of the Lions' targets inside the 10-yard line went to Amon-Ra St. Brown last year. You don't do that unless you're a high-end press coverage, release off the line of scrimmage player. I think this offense, Ray, is set up to just absolutely cook this year. And frankly, I think they're going to have to, because that defense has some issues on the back end, particularly in the secondary. So I think St. Brown, again, just if you get a pick in the back half of the first round, lock up the Sun God there. He is in a great position.
I could not agree more. I could not agree more. And to me, even without looking at the player, his individual skill set, the talent, his consistency over the past couple of years, this Lions offense is projected to be number one, number two in the NFL. 48 projected offensive touchdowns. You're talking about one of the best offenses in the league. The market is implying 10.5 wins for the Lions, 26 points per game. I mean, the offensive environment, their pace of play, close to 64 plays per game for the Detroit Lions. And then you look around at some of the ancillary pieces of the offense. J-Mo's got a unique skill set that he's going to get his, but it's going to be completely different than how Amon-Ra does. I mean, yes, you've got Gibbs who's going to command his targets, and a healthy Sam Laporta will get his, but I'll one-up you here right there. I've got him as wide receiver 3 on the season, Amon-Ra St. Brown. Number 3, the touchdown, and I'm glad you introduced the stat that you did, because I'm looking at him versus some other receivers, and I'm like, man, I've got his touchdowns projected so high, but then when you drop the red zone stuff, it's like, oh, it makes sense. He's just, to be a heavy slot usage to utilize player, to get as much opportunity in the red zone, it doesn't look like Adams, right? It's not Davante Adams fade routes on the outside, but he's just consistently open. And then here's the thing, Matt, Jared Goff is a walking 4,000-yard quarterback. If you're telling me I'm betting on a floor of 1,000 yards from my QB, one of the best offenses in the NFL, you damn right I want Amon-Ra St. Brown in every draft that I'm sitting in the back half of round one. 10-team, 12-team, don't matter. Give me Amon-Ra.
Yeah, so we both have him at wide receiver 3. He goes off the board, wide receiver 4. And again, just someone that it's all the same tier to me. You know, when you're talking about Puka Nacua, JSN, Amon-Ra St. Brown, I just think St. Brown is so secure. And the ceiling is really high as well for him. And listen, I know people are worried about, Drew Petzing coming in here. I mean, Jared Goff fits Petzing's offense so much better than Kyler Murray did. And secondly, Petzing is mostly here to fix the run game. That passing game looked the same last year as it usually does under Ben Johnson, and I think that's because Dan Campbell is actually the main architect of what they want to do in the passing game. So no worries about this Lions offense, and I think Amon-Ra St. Brown is a great first-round pick this year. Let's go into the second round, Ray, and your pick here is one that Boone and I were actually just discussing yesterday, and I'm really curious where you're at on this particular player. So who's your favorite pick in the second round?
I'm not quitting him. I know that everything around this situation fell apart. Coach gone, OC change, receivers gone, everybody gone in Miami except for Devon Achane. Devon Achane is still there, ADP of 15, RB9 off the board. He got his bag over the offseason. This is one of the most explosive players in the NFL. And to be such a smaller type running back, he doesn't look like Jonathan Taylor, damn sure doesn't look like Derrick Henry, doesn't look like anybody in the NFL, really, the explosiveness and then the ability to work in the receiving game, I'm not as concerned about Miami as a lot of people. I don't think the offense is going to be great overall, the totality. When you, I mean, Matt, I'm almost 40. I'm close to being a full-grown man, but I think they can get you and I out there. We might be able to play receiver for the Miami Dolphins. They ain't got nobody out there playing wide out. This is their guy. It is Devon Achane on the ground, through the air. And I'm not concerned about Malik Willis. I'm not concerned about Willis. I'm not concerned about the offense. I want opportunity, and there's no Jalen Wright or Ollie Gordon that's going to pull opportunity away from Devon Achane. 5.67 yards per carry, best in the NFL last year amongst running backs with 100 carries, and a 17.7% target share, third most amongst all running backs. And now you're telling me that the offense is going to contain a Malik Washington, a Jalen Tolbert, potentially a Tutu Atwell is the starting wide receiver. I'm very, very bullish this year on Devon Achane, both on the ground and through the air. So if I'm sitting there right at the top of the second, if he falls mid-second round, I'm locking him in and would love to pair him with another running back that I got in round one or one of those dope receivers.
Yeah, ADP right now of about 15. I've got him just maybe a little bit behind that, but I've been warming up to Achane not completely falling off the board here. And one of the big reasons is you mentioned the offensive coordinator change. I mean, Bobby Slowick was on this staff last year, right? Like, he at least was around for how Mike McDaniel was constructing things. And I think Slowik does better work in the pass game than the run game, but you kind of have to be like a complete dunce to come in here and change a good thing. And I mean, Ray, this run game was cooking at the end of last season. So I do think the run game can still be good. And Achan, as you mentioned, he's one of the guys, and I talked about this with Boone yesterday. He doesn't just get, you know, screens and stuff and just the checkdowns. He actually does get targets from the slot as well. So some real deal potential receiver usage for Achan, which I do think helps kind of stave off any complete collapse for a Dolphins team that, look, man, it's not going to be great. The defense actually, I think, is in worse position than the offense. I think there's still, to me, I'm not like full fading him in the second round either.
Yeah, and I think that's what it is. And when you're just, let's just say the opportunity, we got him projected for 216 carries. Me, I've got him around 250, right? So there's some more yardage there. And he's the type of running back that does not need to go out there and get 30 rush attempts in a game to get his, right? He's got that explosiveness, that big playability. He's a mismatch problem. And as you said, as long as Slowik and Jeff Hafley don't just royally screw this up, the opportunity and the volume should absolutely be in play for Achan to return, whether it's 15, 16, even if you've gotten towards the back half of the second round. The point is the upside. Everybody can acknowledge and see that. It's a really good player, and he's proven over the course of his career to be a little better running back than I think people thought he could be when he was coming out of A&M a couple of years ago.
No question about that. He's definitely improved as a base down runner. I'm going to stick at the running back position here in the second round because, I mean, look, probably the guy that I actually have ranked highest relative to current Yahoo ADP would be Nico Collins. But, I mean, number one, I feel like I've talked enough about Nico. And two, what I've found in round two, this is the round where you can, if you don't take a running back here, especially if you go receiver in round one, you're going to fall behind quickly at running back. And I think it's really rough to do that, especially because round four is a great spot for wide receivers. So with that being noted, round two, my favorite pick here is Kenneth Walker. Really tough to break ties in favor of him versus Derrick Henry, who I also really like this year. But I mean, Kenneth Walker, man, I feel like the industry is slowly but surely coming around to the fact that this guy is going to be a fundamental, like, change force in the Kansas City Chiefs offense in a couple of different reasons. One, the stat I've mentioned before, 2.9% explosive run rate the last 2 years for the Kansas City Chiefs. That is dead last in the NFL, and it's dead last by a decent bit. Both the 31st and 30th ranked teams, which are the Browns and the Raiders, they're over 5%. So it's a pretty decent gap between them and the second and third worst teams there. That's number one. And I mean, obviously Kenneth Walker is going to bring explosive plays, but we're just showing it also here. He's going to be really involved in the passing game. All the buzz out of Kansas City is like, this guy is going to get screens. He's going to get targets out of the backfield. We saw how useful he was in the screen game during the playoff run for the Seattle Seahawks. And honestly, like, I think that's going to take targets away from like Rashee Rice on some of those kind of scammier targets. Like Kenneth Walker is going to get some of those screens that have been going to receivers. Like, you're not throwing screens to Kareem Hunt. You're not throwing screens to Isaiah Pacheco. Kenneth Walker, I think, is going to get more receiving work than we've ever seen before. He's going to rip off explosive plays. Like, I'll take the over on that 39 projected receptions here for Kenneth Walker. I love getting him in the second round. I think he's just a great pick when you get into this range. How are you feeling about the new Chiefs running back?
I feel great. I've got him projected for more rushing yards. I have him projected for more receiving yards, and I have him projected for a few more receptions than we even do. So I'm right in line with you. It is tough for me, him versus Derrick Henry, just because of how many carries Henry's going to get. But we talked about this. It felt like every single week you and I got on the Data Dump show and we talked about Kansas City. The offense just has not felt the same since they had a dynamic running back. And this was prior to 2020. They drafted Clyde Edwards-Helaire in 2020 in the first round. But we're talking Kareem Hunt, 2018, 2019 type time. Like, the offense has not felt the same. When they finally got some semblance of a running game with Isaiah Pacheco, we're like, oh my gosh, finally, we got somebody that can run the ball so Mahomes isn't scrambling around. And I ask you, do you think that Mahomes' injury is also going to come into play here to where I hate when we say, oh, he's not going to do this as much. Like, players are instinctual. Yeah. When Mahomes gets out there and stuff gets chaotic in the pocket, he's probably going to run, bad knee or not. But I wonder if Eric Bieniemy and some of the play design will be like, hey, let's get the ball out quicker. We've got this running back that we can give the ball you know, 20 times a game if need be, but you can also use him as an outlet. I believe Kansas City had 4 running backs last year with 25 carries inside of that offense. Even Kareem Hunt was getting it. Breshard Smith. They've needed this for some time, and they didn't just get a running back. They didn't just add a Chuba Hubbard. They didn't just add a J.K. Dobbins. They went out and grabbed an extremely talented running back in Kenneth Walker. I do think this offense, it looks different this year. Kelsey's older. Worthy is what he is. Rice is trying to work his way back. I think me, Yahoo, everybody might be a little low on Kenneth Walker even now at RB10.
Yeah, I just think he's in a great spot this year, and echo everything you said there. Like, they went out and got the Super Bowl MVP, a guy who can check all those boxes. A guy who, by the way, is going to come in this year fresh. Like, everybody's so upset about Kenneth Walker not getting a full workload last year. He looked great at the end of last season because he didn't have the tread on his tires. He still has a lot of, just room to go here. And you mentioned Mahomes' health. Look, even in training camp clips, we've seen him kind of scrambling around because, as you mentioned, it is instinctual. But I think they'll try to take those carries off his plate, Ray, by making this just more of a rock fight team. Like, they beefed up their defense. They have a good offensive line, in my opinion. Kenneth Walker's good. I just think they're going to be in more kind of run-heavy game scripts. So, yeah, this second round between Achan, Derrick Henry, you know, Kenneth Walker, a lot of good running backs in this round. But let's go to the third round here, where I know both you and I have our eyes back on receivers. Who are you going with as your favorite pick in round 3?
Well, I mean, how many minutes in the show are we in? Like 20-something minutes? It's about time to have some Cowboys conversation here. It's about time to talk about those Dallas Cowboys. George Pickens, sign me up. Harmon, you know, there were a lot of things. We got some stuff wrong last year, right? We got some things wrong.
Yeah.
But damn it, we nailed this one. I mean, the you and I were all over Pickens in the environmental change and the scheme change and the offense. And it paid off in a big way. And I know CeeDee Lamb went down and opened up the door for some more opportunity. Pickens is fantastic. Fantastic. 73 receiving first downs last year, third amongst qualified pass catchers. Only 2 players at the position moved the sticks better than George Pickens did last year. 2.1 yards per route run, 13th in the NFL. So you're talking about top 15 efficiency. And he was doing this in an offense that is going to throw the ball like crazy. I have said, and I'm very careful with how I word this, but I think there's a non-zero chance that when you just look at this passing attack, like if you told me George Pickens led Dallas in receiving and touchdown at the end of the year, I wouldn't be like, oh, that's an outlandish take. He's always been an incredibly talented player. What I like about this year opposed to last year, remember week 1? The narrative around Pickens after that Eagles game in week 1, it's not that good. All those deep balls, couldn't complete them. Him and Dak not on the same page. And then by the end of the season, it felt like he was his go-to trusted option. He's got a year in this system again. Dak Prescott, if you go look at him historically, I mean, if he plays 16 games, 4,000 yards is a floor for Dak. The offense is humming. The vibes and the reports coming out of Dallas Cowboys training camp is uncoverable. Confidence, familiarity, knowing what he can and cannot do. This is just a no-brainer to me. Yeah, like, sign me up with all the George Pickens I can have this year.
Yeah, I don't think your take about him, you know, being the wide receiver 1 there from a fantasy perspective is, you know, outlandish whatsoever. I have CeeDee Lamb ranked 12th overall. I have George Pickens 20th, but they're in the same tier at the wide receiver position. So I'm a little bit ahead of even the Yahoo ADP here at 22nd on George Pickens. I think the answer to this is one of those teams, Ray, and it won't be the last time we talk about the Cowboys, and it won't be the last time I say this about any team over the course of this podcast. Certain offenses is just like, oh, this guy. And the answer is just yes. And pretty much every Cowboys this year, the answer is yes to me. This is another offense that I think is just set up to cook, dude. I mean, everybody here is in a good spot. George Pickens included, who took 7.6% of his snaps from the slot last year and still averaged over 80 yards per game. That's like unprecedented in the last 3 seasons, that low of slot usage to that level of production, because George Pickens is a baller and Dak Prescott knows what to do with an isolated receiver like that. So, yeah, I mean, I just think, again, everybody in this offense is set up really well, Ray.
100%. And I think, I know it seems easy, but don't overthink that, right? Don't, I think so many times we want, because it is fun to debate this guy versus that guy, Pickens versus London, Pickens versus Lamb, when the actual answer is like, give me all of them. And here's why. And while we may find that very simple and easy, but I think people sometimes think, I can't have too many Cowboys. Like, I don't want Pickens and Dak. Yeah. This is an offense where, I mean, the market is projecting them over 42 touchdowns for the Dallas Cowboys. They play at a really good pace. Their implied win total is good enough. And then defensively, I know the producer, Colin, is listening. I'm a Cowboys fan. We'll be better defensively, but we're not talking about the 85 Steel Curtain Bears defense here, right? They're still going to give it up. It cannot be worse, but they're going to throw the football. Like, this is what Dallas does. This is why Dak Prescott is here. He's tied for the best odds to lead the league in passing yards. So when you're just looking at some of those basic numbers, you see the route success and George Pickens, what he did on the screen right now. Like, don't overthink this one. A lot of people were a little concerned last year. There should be zero concern with him going into this season.
I saw Jeff Bell from Football Guys, I think a few weeks ago, tweet that, you know, George Pickens is basically just fancy T. Higgins. And on that note, T. Higgins is my favorite third round pick this year. I am shocked that he goes as late as he does. To me, I think T. Higgins is a top 10 receiver in fantasy this year. I think T. Higgins, you know, versus consensus, I'm a higher than him. I mean, I have him as 23rd overall player. He goes off the board at the 34th pick in Yahoo drafts right now. And like, the reality is, when Joe Burrow's out there, this guy is one of the best and most productive receivers in the NFL. When Joe Burrow has been on the field the last two seasons, T. Higgins averages 14.1 points per game and 2.01 yards per route run, which would be wide receiver 7 and wide receiver 19 in those two stats. And again, he goes off the board as like the 15th wide receiver, 13th wide receiver. So I think that's a little bit of a value here on Higgins. Just, there's so many appealing receivers, Ray, in this like third to fourth round range. You know, Malik Nabers, if he's fully healthy, is going to be a smash at the 35th overall pick or wherever he's at right now. But I just think there's so much security in Higgins. Like, don't just chase the shiny object. We know what T. Higgins is when he and Joe Burrow are healthy.
And when Joe Burrow is healthy, let me just give you some numbers, because I'm looking at my projections for Higgins and I'm like, damn, high, right? Looking at my, just give you 2021, 4,600 yards, 2022, 4,500 yards, 2024, 17 games, 49, 18, and 43 touchdowns for Joseph Burrow. When he's on the field and when he's healthy, you're talking about a team where the environment is great. You may not like the offense, may not like the head coach, you may not like Dan Pritchard, but they're projected 46 offensive touchdowns for the Cincinnati Bengals, 26 projected points per game. And this offensive, like the passing attack, consolidation doesn't even describe what this is. It's Ja'Marr Chase, right. It's T. Higgins. And then there's really nobody else from the receivers. And hell, you can even look at Joe Burrow's distribution of targets to tight ends historically. It's not a primary part of their offense. I know there's some talk about getting him under center more. Like, the biggest threat to T. Higgins is T. Higgins. Just be on the field. Be healthy. The touchdowns are in play. There's nobody else that's going to pull up. Because Ja'Marr Chase's allotment, we can agree, that's like, he's getting his, right? He's getting his 160-plus targets. But Higgins, the biggest, like, hindrance to him is just him being on the field, him being available and healthy. And when he is with a healthy Joe Burrow, come on, man, it's lights out.
100%. And like I said, that third round range of wide receivers, a lot of good picks there. And I know people are scared about Higgins' health, Burrow's health, but you know, the other receivers in round 3, Chris Olave, Rashee Rice, I mentioned Malik Nabers, obviously Devonta Smith, AJ Brown, a little bit earlier than that. Not a clean bill of health all the way around for all those guys. Obviously, some injury risk that's going to happen in football. But we went 2 running backs in round 2, 2 running backs in round 3. Will we continue that trend in round 4? You guys are going to find out right after this quick break. All right, we're back and we're into the fourth round now, Ray. Who is your favorite pick in round 4?
Yeah, I'm going to just keep rolling with these Cowboys, man. I'm just going to keep rolling with these Cowboys. Give me Javonte Williams. I know this name is, you're like, damn, we're He was like, he was a rookie like 4 years ago, 5 years ago, and Denver wasn't that good. And last year we weren't really sure. But Dallas let you know. I mean, immediately we're bringing him back, right? And there was a time where everybody wanted a Dallas running back. Zeke Elliott, Tony Pollard, didn't matter who it was. But because of the name Javonte Williams, I think people are still a little bit, I don't know. You should know. The offensive line is good. And it's good. It's beyond good. It's very good. It's an above average offensive line unit. And then when you've got three very good wide receivers commanding attention of a defense on the outside, plus a competent tight end, it kind of makes Javonte Williams' job a lot easier. 49 red zone carries last year, was seventh in the NFL, 63 rushing first downs, sixth in the NFL on only 232 carries. Talking about bet on good offenses, we just talked about Dallas being one of the best offenses in the NFL. I believe Dak Prescott said, greatest offense there is. Got it, is what Dak Prescott was saying. I've got Javonte Williams higher probably than a lot of people. RB13 for me. Red zone opportunities, great offense. He is the primary running back. Love me some Javonte Williams in round four.
Honestly, man, great pick. You got into the doc first and gave your picks first. I would have considered Javonte here because I think he's a really, really good pick in this range. He goes a little higher on Yahoo than he does on other platforms, too. So shout out to the folks drafting with us. They know ball because Javonte Williams was good last year. Really, nothing's changed about the ecosystem. Got a contract extension. Just a rock solid veteran. Not the last Cowboy we will talk about here, but he is certainly in a really good position as Javonte Williams. No doubt about that. In a good position, and a guy obviously I've talked so much on this show, every one of my shows about. I have said consistently, honestly, since early ADPs came out, that Jalen Waddle is the most mispriced player in fantasy football, and I will continue to say it here. He has a ADP of 41st overall. I have him as my 26th overall player. I am so high on Jalen Waddle. I think he's going to absolutely go crazy in this Broncos offense. I've mentioned a lot of the variables before, but if you are new here, because a lot of folks just come back to the show in August, which is totally fine, by the way. Okay, you got your real life out there. That's fine. For the sickos who have heard me say this 100 times, I do apologize. But one of the biggest variables is changing here, Ray, for Jalen Waddle is that in Miami, he was the outside on-ball receiver running all the slow developing routes with the quarterback who wanted to get the ball out fast. Here in Denver, he's going to be that primary Z receiver, move around the formation, get a lot of the layup looks in addition to downfield work. There's just way more play volume here in Denver as well. So all of those like per route stats that Jalen Waddle has shined in before and just hasn't had the volume, the routes to lift up for production. That's coming here in Denver. They trade a freaking first and a third round pick for this guy to go absolutely hard as their flanker receiver. I'm thinking he just has a massive season for this Denver Broncos team. Are you going to be one of the first people to push back on Jalen Waddle here? Because, I mean, I feel like everybody likes Jalen Waddle, Ray. Where are you at with him as a fourth round pick?
I'm not. Why would I push back? Why
I don't know, maybe.
Would I push back? Because I mean, I'm right there with you. I know when I'm looking at my rankings right now, the difference between wide receiver 17 and 15, it's razor thin, right? And it's early. You can adjust some things. What is the biggest knock on Bo Nix that people have always talked about from his time coming out of Oregon? Oh, check down Charlie. Just check down, check down, check down. What I see is 600 plus pass attempts in each of his first two seasons. What I see is a head coach that trusts his quarterback to throw the ball. And then when I look at the other skill sets of Cortland Sutton, of Marvin Mims, of Troy Franklin, they're different receivers than Waddle. So if he wants to check it down, Waddle can do that. If he wants to push it down the field, Waddle can do that. You want to throw intermediate, Waddle can do that. I think this is an opportunity for him to really show how talented of a receiver he is and how highly sought after he was coming out of Alabama some years ago. I do think this one is, he's been in the league so long, in air quotes, that I think people just kind of, oh, it's just Jalen Waddle. But this environmental shift doesn't happen for a lot of receivers of his skill set. This is a perfect marriage for a team that wants to throw the ball. And then when you look at some of the other ancillary pieces, they really don't have a tight end. J.K. Dobbins doesn't catch passes. Harvey's fine, but there's really nobody else to kind of command it. I'm looking at these numbers. I've got Waddle higher targets, higher receptions, higher yards, and more touchdowns than where we have him right here on a Yahoo. So I'm with you 1,000%. There will be no pushback. I'm all aboard the Waddle train here in 26.
Yeah. And again, this fourth to fifth round range, which is going to kind of dovetail us into your next pick here in the fifth round. Just so many, so many good receivers here. I really like the idea. I know I picked a couple of receivers there between Amon-Ra St. Brown and T. Higgins, but I mean, listen, get yourself two running backs early because you want to be hitting receivers in this fourth round range compared to the other guy. Like Drake May, Joe Burrow, like Cam Scott, like these picks to me, the wide receivers are the ones you want here in round four. In addition to, I just want to give a quick shout out to Tyler Warren, who's like the last pick in a 12 team format round four ADP. I did think about Tyler Warren. Just again, I got to go by my rankings here and I'm just so much higher on Jalen Waddle. But again, I mentioned good receivers here in that round four to five range. So let's go into the fifth round and you've got a receiver here to highlight, Ray Garvin.
Yeah, I know it was a tale of two seasons. I know it was a tale of two seasons, but we're back. We're back. Emeka Egbuka here in round five. And I can throw all these stats at you. We could talk about what happened at the end of the year versus the beginning of the year. When Mike Evans came back, he was the guy. But when you look at this Tampa Bay team now, like this is Emeka Egbuka's job. His job is to go out there and be the primary target earner for a team that doesn't it just feel like they need to put up this year in a major way. Todd Bowles has been there for a minute. Baker Mayfield, not particularly happy with his contract situation. Yes, you bring in a Kenneth Gainwell, but I want Emeka Egbuka. I think people underestimate or don't realize just how difficult it is for a rookie to really come in and I'm just going to say command it all and then maintain it all throughout the year. You talk to these guys at the end of the year after the season is over. I remember an interview with Ramondre Stevenson where he said, man, by the end of my rookie year, I was just so beat up, exhausted physically, mentally. Like it was a learning curve. And I think the struggles that Emeka Egbuka suffered the second half of last year, I think that will flip into a positive. I think there are some things that he probably learned, right? Because it can't always just be sky high and everything be those first 5-6 weeks of the season. But he's coming into a spot now where I think Godwin serves a role, very good player. McMillan can do some things on the other side, but this is the alpha of this team. This is the alpha. The air yards are there. I'm just in on Egbuka this year. I'm not there. There's got to be a happy medium between what we saw at the end versus what was happening at the beginning. And I'm willing to bank on that for this offense.
Yeah, I like where he goes here. I've got him ranked ahead of this ADP as well. He's my 32nd overall player. There is a lot of really high-end outcomes for Emeka Egbuka. One of the biggest variables too, Ray, and I mean, you know this after watching him at Ohio State. Like he came into the league as a big slot prospect, kind of a Z receiver. And then last year with Mike Evans hurt, in reception perception, he took 69% of his snaps I charted outside, 64% on the line of scrimmage. But as we're showing here from Zane, he's been working as the Z receiver. Zach Robinson mentioned this. It's a role change for him. It just is going to make a lot more sense. Much like, I mean, he's going to be playing the role that Drake London was playing for the Atlanta Falcons. When London went from an X receiver early in his career, that off-ball movement player. And just like London has had this massive target upside on these in-breaking routes. Again, if you're listening to us on audio, I appreciate you. Shout out if you're listening. That's great. Continue to do what you got to do. I love listening to audio podcasts. But if you're a YouTube person, you're seeing all these great visuals, please subscribe. Okay. Like the video. We would love it. Like the route chart that we are showing right now on the screen. The in-breaking routes here for Emeka Egbuka as that movement guy, the Drake London, like high target totals. I could see this guy getting like 140 targets this year. And at this ADP, Ray, that is just a total smash to me.
Absolutely. I know we'll talk about it a lot. Everybody talked about Egbuka last year and more notably like how it ended. But there had to have been some confidence in Tampa Bay to say, we're not going to go out and make these big overwhelming changes, whether that be at tight end. They brought back Cade Otton. They didn't do anything substantial. I know Ted Hurst, a lot of people like that, but that's a third round pick. Like this is Egbuka's offense. I'm not overthinking this one. Baker's going to toss the ball. I don't know if you watched some of the quarterback special. He's going to throw the ball and Egbuka's going to be a big target for him. I'm with you.
I have not watched The Quarterback on Netflix because I've mentioned this before. My personal trainer is a Bucks fan, so he gives me like a play-by-play recap that I didn't ask for about what Baker Mayfield is doing on quarterback. That's not for me, so I'm getting the information elsewhere. So good to hear that Baker Mayfield. Good to hear Baker Mayfield's got the chip on his shoulder. I'm shocked. My favorite pick in round five is. Actually, funny enough, I'm looking at my rankings versus Yahoo ADP. Actually, there's a receiver here that plays for the same team as a running back that I'm going to talk about. That I'm actually like I'm shocked that Luther Burden goes 58th overall. I have him ranked higher than that. I think Luther Burden's a great pick in the fifth round. But much like Ray Garvin, where I said the answer to which Cowboy should I draft is which Bear should I draft is yes. Okay. All right. Take all your Bears, including DeAndre Swift in round five. I think is actually a really good pick here. I've got him ranked 42nd overall. I think there's like a teardrop to me after DeAndre Swift. And I know that everybody's got like problems with Swift. Or, is he this good? Is he that good? Whatever. After him, I think there's a little bit of a drop off to the security at the running back position. Like in my rankings in tier four, I've got Javonte Williams, Kyren Williams, DeAndre Swift. And then it gets into like Josh Jacobs, Spatial Tuten, Travis Achane, David Monk. Like to me, once Swift goes off the board there as my running back 17, I'm feeling a lot more murkiness here. So this Bears offense, I just think is going to go crazy this year. They are my third best projected offense on Football 301. Offensive line is good. Kyle Manunga is a little banged up right now as well. Swift is going to be the lead back of this team. He's going to catch passes and just someone that if I get a little behind at running back, okay, like I mentioned, I don't want to do that. But if I do, fifth round DeAndre Swift feels really good, kind of a set it and forget it RB2 here.
My projected numbers for Swift are good, are really good. And that's with Kyle Manunga getting a nice chunk as well. I'm looking at his, like his is really good. If there's any thing that pulls Manunga off the field just a tad bit. There was that narrative, right? That, you know, Ben Johnson, he had Swift in Detroit and he really didn't want Swift in Chicago and they can't wait to replace him. And like, that's all just narrative because it does not seem to be the case whatsoever. This offense should be outstanding. You said your third best offense. I got him projected for 46 touchdowns, the Chicago Bears this year. This offense should be great. I want all of them. And DeAndre Swift, you said you have him as RB17. I'm right there with you as my RB18. Mm. So I've got no qualm with this whatsoever. He might be a little even undervalued versus what, like, if the offense is that good, maybe even a little better than that, than even you and I have him at, Matt.
All right, so let's stick at the running back position and go into the sixth round here. Who is your favorite pick in round six? Some really interesting guys in this range.
I picked a hell of a day to talk about it since all I saw on Twitter was how bad he was in pass protection, but neither here nor there. Give me Big Hendo. Travion Henderson coming off the board for me here in round six. And again, much better offense. New England Patriots, you know, represent the AFC in the Super Bowl. You got Drake May coming back, offensive continuity with Josh McDaniels. They didn't do anything running back wise to add other bodies around. It's Ramondre Stevenson. It's Travion Henderson. And from weeks, I think it was weeks one through seven, he had one game last year, one game, Matt, with over double-digit carries. Remember that stretch where it felt like he didn't even play? They didn't even give him the ball, no touches. I think those first 7 weeks, he had less than 200 total rushing yards. And then you look up, damn near had 1,000 yards on the ground. Damn near 1,000 yards on the ground for Henderson. Big playability, utilized in the receiving game, explosive element to his game. In an offense that added A.J. Brown and Romeo Doubs. I mean, listen, 5.1 yards per carry, fourth in the NFL for a rookie. He did it on 42.5 snap share, lowest playing time of any back inside of the top five in yards per carry in the NFL. I'm not saying he's Jahmyr Gibbs. I'm not saying he's Devon Achane, but when you're talking about a guy that can flip a game on one play, that can flip your fantasy week with a couple of plays, Travion Henderson has that. Can he pass block? Probably not. And you know what? I don't care because that doesn't score me fantasy points. Just go out there, get your carries behind the line of scrimmage. Do your damage when you get opportunity in the receiving game. Speed, explosiveness, offense, sign me up for Travion.
Yeah, this is maybe the first one that like we disagree on a little bit. Not that I'm totally out on Henderson, but I'm about six spots behind ADP on him just because man, what makes me so nervous, Ray, you mentioned like, yeah, the pass blocking doesn't score you fantasy points, but it does get you taken off the field. And that's what happened in the postseason for Travion Henderson. You know, I mean, they just completely shelved him for Ramondre Stevenson, who is, I don't want to spoil all my notes on him because he's going to spoiler alert come up for me on the other side of the break. But I think this run game can be better and will be better, actually, which will help Henderson. I just kind of like taking the second back because I don't think there's a wide gap between these two guys. It allows me to get exposure to a good offense. But the bottom line here, Ray, is that how Henderson like changes my pessimism, I guess, what I would say from a fantasy standpoint, is he comes in here and he's just a way better player in year two than he was in year one, which is totally possible. I just think he left a lot of meat on the bone in year one, which has me a little nervous.
Listen, we're going to disagree. We absolutely are. And there's nothing that you said that I disagree with. If you're asking me, would I rather Henderson or, depending on Ramondre comes off the board, I think they're both really good bets. But if I'm in this round, especially if you did fade running back a little earlier and you're looking for a back that's capable of producing those big plays and taking that step forward in year two, like, I think Henderson's a pretty good bet to at least... He's going to be on the field. There's nobody else. Like, it's Henderson and it's Ramondre. There's nobody else back there besides those two. Two really good players in what should be a really good offense.
And it gets a little tough to find those ceiling cases at running back after Travion Henderson, outside of like Bashaul Tutin. And other than that, you're starting to get into some questionable bets there. But my favorite pick in the sixth round, look, again, I would love to go something different than someone I've talked about plenty here. But my favorite pick in the sixth round, based on my rankings, is Roma Dunze. Because for me, I just don't see a reason why there should be this massive gap between Colson Loveland, Luther Burden, and Roma Dunze. I think this offense, number one, as we said, is going to be really good, and it's going to be really concentrated. Like, these guys like Khalif Raymond and Xavien Thomas are added to essentially be space creators, like sacrificial receivers, so that these three guys can eat. And, you know, one of the narratives is that, oh, well, you know, Ben Johnson, he inherited Roma Dunze. He drafted Luther Burden and Colson Loveland. That is true. He inherited Roma Dunze, though, and continued to run his entire offense through him in the first 8 weeks of the season. In the first 8 weeks of the season, Roma Dunze was 19th in yards per route run and 15th in yards per game, trailing only Amon-Ra St. Brown, Michael Pittman, Davante Adams, and George Pickens in touchdown catches. And I think his film was even better than that. Left a lot of meat on the bone in contested catches situations, and Caleb Williams left some on the bone from how, you know, he kind of just missed on Rome on these downfield routes. So those two guys, like, just connect a little bit better over the course of the full season, even if you don't do the like week 8 injury splits, the whole deal. He was used highly last season. He will be likely used highly again because DJ Moore is out here. So to me, Ray, I guess my question for you is, do you think there's enough room to be in on Loveland, Burden, and Odunze? Because to me, I think the answer is yes, but I get that we're getting a little crowded here with three guys.
Unequivocally, yes. Absolutely, yes, there's enough to go around. And I do think that getting rid of some of the other bodies, the DJ Moore, Olamide Zaccheaus is on the field getting targets too, getting rid of him, moving some of those bodies around, and really concentrating your offense with these three young guys. I mean, for the first 5 weeks of the season, Harmon, we look like damn Nostradamus out here, the way that Odunze was playing. I mean, he was incredible. I mean, it was a wheel. We were floating. We were just floating on the show, right? The injury absolutely.
Do you remember when we had the big segment where it was like, who would you rather have in Dynasty, Emeka Ibuka, Roma Dunze? And we're like, God, it's so tough, such great players. And then they both just completely fell off after that.
we'll forget about that part of it. But damn it, we were on them early and we were right early. But Caleb Williams himself has come out this offseason to say, I believe the quote was something around, like, I'm going to get my completion percentage up just so I could shut everybody up.
Yeah.
He knows that he wasn't great. There were absolutely some plays where Roma Dunze could have helped his young quarterback out, but that's year one in that system. Like, that's year one in Ben Johnson's system. I think that things are going to work and operate better here in Chicago. And what I think ultimately happens, I think Burden's going to be really good. I think Rome's going to be really good. And I think Loveland's going to be good. And while it may not equate to one guy having 1,600 yards and another guy having 1,500, maybe they're all just really, really rock solid good players. And in the course of an NFL season, man, knock on wood, because we never wish for injuries, somebody's going to get banged up. Somebody's going to get nicked up. There might be a week or two where someone's out. And what that will give me is the confidence that, oh, Rome can go out there and command it this week if Burden had to sit out. Oh, Rome's got to sit one. Burden can go get it. Loveland can get it. I think it may be a little frustrating, but that is why you just adjust your expectation level for the output. I've got Rome a little higher than us as well. I've got him at wide receiver 26. So and with a nicer ceiling as well. So I'm a little higher than our ADP, our ranking of Odunze. And I'm with you. I think the answer is all three.
Yep. Get your Bears. This is going to be a massive season for that offense. And based on another injury in their secondary, it's going to have to be a massive season for that offense. They're going to have to throw the football quite a bit there. But we are going to take another quick break. We come back. We've got more of our favorite picks. We're going to go into round 7 right after this. All right, we're back. We've talked, honestly, so many running backs, wide receivers. Ray, you've got a different position for us here as we go into round 7. Who's your favorite 7th-round pick on Yahoo right now?
Yeah, favorite 7th-round pick. We're going to the tight end position, Harold Fannin Jr. I know everything around the Cleveland Browns, I mean, quarterback situation, offensive scheme change. They are not projected. I think 5.5 wins. I believe the owner came out to say that. That'd be great if we exceeded that win total. That'd be a big-time win for us. It's not a team that's projected to score a lot of offensive touchdowns. I've been wanting to talk to you about this. I've been wanting to talk to you about Cleveland and Todd Monken because, to me, this seems like such a no-brainer with Harold Fannin. Mm. I mean, from Monken's time when he was calling plays at Georgia with Brock Bowers, all the time that he spent in Baltimore, even when he was the offensive coordinator in Tampa Bay, the tight ends were huge pieces of his offense. Back to Cameron Brate, O.J. Howard, Brock Bowers, Mark Andrews, Isaiah Likely, and now he gets this second-year tight end who's already shown an ability to command significant opportunity, be good in a chaotic environment last year. He gets him for the full season with an unproven wide receiver room. This is one where I get it. The quarterback position is very troubling. But when you're just talking about the most consistent receiver, I've got Harold Fannin leading the Cleveland Browns in targets, receptions, yards, and touchdowns. Clean sweep across the board. Monken and tight ends is like white on rice, baby. It just works. It works together so well. So I love me some Harold Fannin Jr. If I can get him right here opposed to where some of the other tight ends are, I'm smashing that draft button every single time.
So one thing I've just noticed about Yahoo ADP is that like the tight ends are going really early. I mean, I mentioned Tyler Warren is like an end of the 4th-round pick. Harold Fannin is like on that 6th, 7th round turn. Kyle Pitts is like on that 6th, 7th turn. Like if you want a tight end, and by the way, like I think there is a cataclysmic drop off, honestly, after the Pitts and Harold Fannin group to like, I mean, George Kittle's kind of the wild card there, of course, but after that, it just gets, I mean, I'm not trying to start Travis Kelce in fantasy football in the year 2020. I'm not trying to run out like Mark Andrews, Isaiah Likely post the Malik Nabers injury. I'm not trying to have one of those guys, Dalton Kincaid, you know, Dallas guy. Like there's a path for those guys. Chico Conquo, interesting sleeper. But man, after those guys, and I actually like Sam Laporta quite a bit ahead of consensus too. I would have considered him as a favorite pick of mine at one point, just didn't quite line up. But my point here, Ray, is just like if you want to grab a tight end, and I do think you want one of these guys, you got to go ahead and like move your. I need to look at my overall rankings for people because if they, I'm lower than this on Harold Fannin, and I don't like it. I'm lower than on like the Tyler Warren or the Tucker Kraft types. Like, so I need to Kyle Pitts too. I need to look at my overall rankings as a regard to that, because I think if you're building your rosters, you want to come away with one of these guys. And Fannin, I think the big question is just obviously beyond the quarterback stuff, how good are these rookie wide receivers right away? Cause both KC Concepcion, and I know KC's get a little banged up in practice right now. They've been getting rave reviews. I think these guys are just massive difference makers compared to what Cleveland was running out last year. But I wonder, Ray, honestly, how long is Jerry Jeudy going to be on this roster? Like, could he be a guy that's a trade candidate if these rookie receivers are balling out? And that only just opens up more volume for Harold Fannin, especially on kind of those intermediate crossing routes where he was pretty much cooking last year.
I mean, you nailed it. It's how much are the rookie receivers involved? I do think Jerry Jeudy feels like if Boston goes out there and does what he's supposed to do, Concepcion's on the field, could make an interesting, I mean, they traded for Jerry Jeudy. Why not trade him away? Yes, I do think that's an absolute possibility here. As long as Deshaun Watson isn't throwing no-look passes to the other team, I think they should be okay. It's the quarterback situation. The offense is very troubling. But he did it already. He's already shot. Like, there's no mystery if Harold Fannin can play in the NFL at one of the most difficult positions to go transfer from college to the NFL. He did it in an awful offensive structure, an awful environment. They've rebuilt the offensive line. You've got rookie wide receivers on the outside, and your second most veteran and stable receiver is the guy that the offensive coordinator and the head coach love to deploy for all the time that Todd Monken's been coaching. This is just one where I'm just betting on the scheme, Monken's history, and the uncertainty inside the offense with Fannin.
Yeah, I love the scheme. I'm a big Todd Monken fan, so I will echo your point on that. Speaking of echoing, we already kind of talked about this guy, so we can just move past him. But my pick in round 7 was Ramondre Stevenson. One of the reasons, I like him is just, look, we saw him. He was trusted by the coaching staff. He's a good back. I think he's honestly started to get a little bit like too much crap from the fantasy industry because people want Travion Henderson to happen. Stevenson's a good back. He's a reliable, good back, gets what's there. Plus a little extra. And he goes behind both Steelers running backs. He goes behind Chuba Hubbard. And I just feel like, again, this is a good offense, good running back. I will hitch my horse to the Ramondre Stevenson wagon. I think it's like even odds that he just outscores Travion Henderson this year. So good value to me if you fall behind at running back in round 7. But I want to move into round 8 here, Ray, because we have another kind of, this is where we both kind of skewed into quarterbacks here a little bit. So who's your favorite round 8 pick right now?
I promise you this is no homerism. The producers, I was not forced or coerced to make this pick. Dak Prescott. It's Dak Prescott. It's Dak Prescott. You can't have Pickens is damn near first rounder, CeeDee Lamb damn near first rounder, Javonte Williams in round 4. Who is the engine? Where's the straw stirring the drink? Oh, that's number 4. Here we go. Dak Prescott. Yes. One of the guys projected to lead the NFL in passing. He was right there with Matthew Stafford last year, neck and neck for the passing lead, walking 4,000 yards, Clayton Adams and company. They're going to throw the football. It's Dak's offense. I really don't know what else to say. I mean, 30-plus touchdowns, 4,000 yards. If you're in on the receivers, if you're in on Javonte Williams, if you're like, hey, I mean, Jake Ferguson's not bad, then you have to be in on the quarterback. Offensive line is good. If Dak was my QB1 in fantasy, like, you can win with that. No questions asked, opposed to drafting maybe a more explosive, better quarterback early. Dak in round 8 is free money, man.
Yeah, I mean, I love it. If you can get Dak in this range, 100%, you said it best. Straw that stirs the drink here. We're in on this Cowboys offense. The guy who's going to be distributing that football is Dak Prescott. So, yeah, man, I love Dak as a late round quarterback pick. He's someone I moved ahead of Brock Purdy after the Pearsall injury and just some of the other kind of chaos going on in that Niners offense. Dak is certainly a target for me, as is the quarterback I'm going to highlight here. But I'm not just going to talk about the quarterback, Ray, because I look at round 8 and I included Parker Washington here, who I'm going to leave a teaser here because we're going to talk about him on the other side of the break, because his ADP has been rising here. It's 81st overall in the last 7 days, which is up from his overall ADP of about 94. However, I mean, I'm still way ahead of that on Parker Washington. Like, this is a great value on Parker Washington. BTJ also goes in this round, and I am ahead of market on BTJ at 86th overall. But then I look at, like, you know who else I'm ahead of market on, and who is going to be throwing the football to those two guys, which, you know, let's just skip the guessing game. Is it going to be BTJ in this personnel? Like, it's going to be Parker Washington in this personnel? How much Jacoby Myers play? Travis Hunter, when's he going to be? You know who's going to be throwing the football in all of those situations? Mr. Trevor Lawrence, 86th overall. I got him at 76th. So this is one of those situations where I like Parker Washington. I think BTJ can bounce back. Jacoby Myers still rock solid. I believe that Travis Hunter is going to play he's definitely not going to play a full snap role, but when he's out there, he's going to be making plays for this team. I'm interested in what they look like out of heavy personnel. the straw that stirs the drink, man. That's going to be Trevor Lawrence. So, yeah, it's going to be tough to figure that out. But I do know Trevor Lawrence is going to be scoring us fantasy points. So my message to you guys is in round eight, especially with this ADP right now on Yahoo, go ahead and just say, I'm taking a Jacksonville Jaguar. But make sure one of those guys is the quarterback, Trevor Lawrence, because he's in a great spot here.
Yeah, and don't you like the rushing floor as well? Like, I'm not going to predict him to go, you know, 9-10 touchdowns again, but they show when he gets down there, it's not tush push, but he'll run the ball in, goal line, outside. He finally played like that number one top overall pick, and then it's confidence. It's another year in this Cohen offense. You could do a hell of a lot worse than Trevor Lawrence right here as your starting quarterback. If you want to go late round, I mean, I don't know how you have him, but he was to finish the season, he was QB1. It was him and Josh Allen.
Yeah.
Back half of the season. It was him and Josh, not Jaden Daniels, not Dak Prescott, not Brock Purdy. It was Trevor freaking Lawrence and Josh Allen going toe-to-toe at the end of the season. And you're telling me this offense is going to take a step back? I don't think so.
Yeah, could not agree more with that there. And yeah, for me, I have him at QB. I have him at QB8. He is right there behind Justin Herbert in my third tier of quarterbacks. So like that's what he's like kind of top of that tier for me. And honestly, I haven't really been drafting in tier two of quarterback, the Lamar, the Joe Burrow, the Jaden Daniels, Drake May, Jalen Hurts, because I just think there's a pretty comparable ceiling and floor case between Herbert, Trevor Lawrence, Caleb Williams, Dak Prescott, all these offensive ecosystems we like. And just to put an exclamation point there on your rushing point, 82 carries last year, 359 yards, both career highs for Trevor Lawrence, and 9 touchdowns as well. I do believe one of the big things that Liam Cohen did for Baker Mayfield when he got to Tampa Bay was like, hey, buddy, you got some wheels. Take off the scramble when you get in trouble. And I think the same thing happened with Trevor Lawrence eventually down the stretch last year, and I think we'll continue to see it. But I mentioned Parker Washington. We're going to take a quick break, but on the other side, a little teaser here, on the side on this break, Ray Garvin's going to be talking about some Parker Washington, why he thinks he might be the right answer in this Jacksonville Jaguars passing game. I'm putting words in your mouth, but we'll see if you live up to it. You guys are going to figure out if he is. On the other side of this quick break, we'll be right back. All right, we're back. And as I mentioned, Ray Garvin's favorite pick in the 9th round. And like we said, his ADP is rising. And based on Twitter literally not being able to keep their mouths shut about this player, I expect that ADP to only continue to go up here on the Yahoo streets. But Ray, hit us on Parker Washington. Where are you at on the Jacksonville Jaguars receiver? Your favorite pick here at round 9.
Yeah, I'm higher than consensus on Parker Washington. I've got him at wide receiver 28. I just want to talk. Is this real? Is this real, Matt? Because I still like Brian Thomas Jr. I believe that Jakobi Meyers is going to serve a role on this team, and he's going to get targets as well. And I agree with what you said in the last segment. When Hunter's on the field, they're going to have packages designed. Like, is this just straight up, man, is this for real? Is Parker Washington going to yield the type of return that people are hyping him up to be right now? I like him. I like what we saw the back half of the season last year. I love Trevor Lawrence. I love Liam Coleman. Like, is this for real here, Matt?
Yeah, I have him at wide receiver 32 in this same tier, although one thing I have been hearing more of and seeing, and again, shout out to Zane Donati, man. He's just been, again, just absolutely crushing it. That's why we had him on the show a couple weeks ago. He had a note today that the Jaguars are actually talking more and more about, like, when they use Travis Hunter, he's not just going to be playing F, the slot position. He's going to be playing some X receiver as well. And one of the reasons I've had BTJ ranked ahead of Parker Washington, and I honestly might need to flip this, is because, like, hey, I thought, well, no matter what, heavy personnel, 11, it's going to be Brian Thomas Jr. on the football field because he's the X receiver of the roster. But if Travis Hunter's going to be playing some X, that's going to, I think, take BTJ off the field. And I like that. Look, I mean, I want to see BTJ on the field, but Travis Hunter can do more than just do the gimmicky slot stuff. He can play real deal X receiver. And ultimately, that was kind of BTJ's holding point to why I thought he could be the biggest hit here. And frankly, I honestly don't think anybody's going to be a big hit here. I think everybody will rotate. It'll be very Packers-esque where it's kind of frustrating week to week. But if Parker Washington, who's been getting all this buzz, I'll tell you for sure, I talked to Trevor Lawrence about this in February. His guy is Parker Washington. He loves Parker Washington. I was like, give me a scouting report on all the receivers. The guy he doubled back to talk about, Ray, was Parker Washington. because he just wants this guy to play the whole deal. I mean, Liam Cohen loves him as that vertical slot option, and he did not have a slot rate north of 60% till week 15 last year. And in those games, when I charted him, he had an 83% success rate against zone coverage, which would have been one of the better numbers of the last season. So I think they found the right role for him. Quarterback loves him. Sounds like he's going to be on the field, maybe not every single snap, but could lead the team in route percentage. Yeah, that's a guy I want to click on in this range.
Last point, contract year.
Do you think there's been buzz about Parker Washington? Like, they want to sign him to an extension. If I'm Parker Washington, I ain't signing that extension. Do that for me after the year, because I think there's a chance he could have a big, big season this year. I've seen Josh Downs like, oh, Josh Downs, they want to extend him. He's like, no, I'll deal with that after the season, because again, he's going to have a big year as well. So just interesting to see where they value him at and where he could be. So yeah, I want you guys to be taking Jags here. Like I said, I have Parker Washington 69th overall, which is way ahead of this overall ADP here. My favorite pick in round 9 is mega boring, but it's J.K. Dobbins. Okay. ADP of 100th overall. I get it. He's not going to play a full season. Boone and I were talking about this yesterday. He pinky promised reporters that he is going to play a full season. All right. We'll see. But you know what? I really don't care, because even if he just plays 10 weeks in round 9, I think J.K. Dobbins is going to come out there and be their lead ball carrier, and he's a good pick in this range. So there are some exciting receivers here, Ray, no question. But overall, look, I just have J.K. Dobbins ranked the highest. I have him 83rd overall. He goes off the board 100th overall. If you're behind on running back, again, he's a really good pick here that might play 10 games, might play 11. Be awesome if he played all 17. But no matter what, when he's out there, he's going to be a good RB2 for your fantasy football teams.
I didn't know about the pinky promise. I got to move him up the ranks. That the pinky promise really seals the deal for me. But Sean Payton came out and talked about the other running back and said that RJ Harvey's got a really good chance to be the third down back for that team. That lets you know that J.K. Dobbins is sliding right back into that. And I don't want to use the word bell cow, but I think he will lead the team in rush attempts on an offense that we think will be pretty good. So I've got no qualm with this.
All right, let's pick up the pace here in the late rounds and go into round 10 here. Who's your favorite pick in round 10?
All right, round 10 is starting to get dirty at wide receiver, and we talked about the better one of the Denver wide receivers earlier in Jalen Waddle. But listen, Courtland Sutton's already said, hey, I've got no problem deferring to Jalen Waddle, letting him take a little more targets. But Sutton is still a pretty good wide receiver himself. Red zone threat, downfield option, and I do think Maybe what happens is Waddle allows Sutton to transition into his, I don't want to say great value, because that's, I don't want to be disrespectful to Courtland Sutton, but like Devontae Adams wasn't getting as big of a workload next to Puka Nacua either, but he was still really good in the red zone. Courtland Sutton's great downfield. He's great in the red zone. He's a big bodied option. So when you're talking about later round wide receivers, you're talking about flyers, offenses that are going to throw the ball a ton, Waddle's the one. But there's no doubt who the number 2 in Denver is, so I'm fine with Courtland Sutton.
Yeah, I hear your point on Sutton, but I'm going to be the shiny object guy here and say, look, there's just way too many receivers I see in this round, round 10, between Josh Downs, like, give me Downs, you know, get the ceiling case on him is higher, QJ, whatever. Even the next two guys we'll talk about around 11, I would rather take than Courtland Sutton. So I'm going to be the shiny object and take the mystery of the unknown while you're going for the safety here. And one of those mystery of the unknown players is a running back that I'm taking as my favorite pick in round 10, which is Jonathan Brooks. 110 overall ADP on Yahoo right now. I have him in the 80s. I think by the end of draft season, I think Jonathan Brooks is going to be climbing and Chuba Hubbard is going to be going down. And that's fine. Like, Hubbard can still be a good, you know, fantasy pick for you. But I just feel Brooks, there's going to be a hype train on him. You've already heard some good positive reviews about what he's doing in training camp. And look, the reality is, like, could he be a total zero if he gets hurt again? Yes. But 10th round flyer at running back, he's one of the few guys I see that, like, yeah, you could talk about Shakur Cross-Kamara, definitely. Like, he's got some upside here. He's not a bad pick in this range. You know, Kenny Gainwell, whatever. But like a true home run swing, I think that's Jonathan Brooks here in round 10 at running back, which is pretty rare.
Yeah, this is like, to me, being up 3-0 in the count and then not taking the walk. You just swing, 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 and then you end up striking out. This dude hasn't done a damn thing since 2023. I believe it when I see it. I like Brooks. I've got Chuba Hubbard significantly higher than Jonathan Brooks right now. But the theory of taking running backs this late, I would probably prefer a running back over a wide receiver three or an unconfirmed wide receiver two this late. I like Brooks. I like the talent. We've seen 22 yards out of his NFL career. I am just one of the ones where if I lose because I didn't draft Jonathan Brooks, then so be it.
Yeah, Ray's up here like I'm trying to bunt and get on base and I'm cranking
that. You got to get on. No, you got to. You have three of them, Matt. You got to sit and get on base. You don't hack. I mean, maybe you take one, but you get on base. You get on base.
We're in a bad place if I'm making baseball analogies as we're talking about the 10th round in fantasy football. So round 11, Ray Garvin, who is your favorite pick in this range?
Big Mike, and I'm not talking about Williams of the past. Michael Wilson out of Arizona. I just, man, if he's around right there, and I'm not sure where Marv is going, I'm assuming a little bit higher than Michael Wilson, but
yes.
This is an offense that threw, he's higher. They threw at a historic clip last year. I think over the last decade, the Arizona Cardinals pass rate was ninth over the last 10 years. It didn't matter if they were down in the first quarter. They played their starters and they threw the ball the whole time. I think there's going to be some regression that comes back this year with the offense, just the overall volume. But the returns on him have been good. I know Marv has had an up and down start to the camp, but Michael Wilson seems to have been very positive. I think he takes a step forward this year. And it's a contract year for Michael Wilson as well. So maybe he's playing for a potential job somewhere else, but I still like Michael Wilson here. And I do kind of agree with you. I'd rather have Wilson in round 11 than Cortland Sutton in round 10. I'm a little higher on Wilson's overall numbers than us. And if something were to happen to Marv, who's been a little banged up, you know, Marv's been a little back injury, a little ankle, a little this, a little that. Michael Wilson, we know he can step into an alpha type workload. So I love Michael Wilson here in 11.
Yeah, way higher than this on Michael Wilson. I have him as a 74th overall player. I'm trying to take my shots on these two Cardinals receivers because I just think they're much better fits for this offense, and I think they can work together. So, yeah, I'm Cardinals curious, as I've admitted on the show here, and so people won't be surprised to hear me say I like Michael Wilson. They also won't be surprised to hear me say I like Jaden Reed in this range too. 121st overall ADP. I'm significantly higher than that. The Packers receivers are ones to target this year because their defense is worse. They're going to be throwing the football a lot more, and you know Luke Musgrave is hurt right now. I don't think they're in line to play a lot of 12 personnel after his neck injury. They're going to be playing a lot of 11, which means we can do the whole like, is Jaden Reed on the field in two receiver sets? I think he'll be playing a lot more three receiver sets this year, and I know Jaden Reed is good at football, so go ahead and give me him as a depth receiver in round 11.
Agreed, and we really don't know what Matthew Golden is. I'm optimistic, and I'm hopeful that he takes that step forward. When Reed's on the field, he's been pretty good, and quietly, when they get to the red zone, like they have a lot of cool stuff designed for him, a lot of orbit motion, get him going across the field. I think Reed is a little better of a player than people remember, and the injury and some of the usage stuff in the past kind of skews you. But right here, what are we, round 11? Give me a player that's on a good offense is going to throw the ball.
All right, we're getting into the 12th round, our favorite picks here. I'll actually just go ahead and say my favorite pick in round 12 is a former Packers receiver, Romeo Doubs. I think the gap between him and A.J. Brown is kind of crazy in ADP right now. He's someone that I think can be really good in a offense that look it might regress a little bit efficiency wise just because the competition and whatever, but it's still going to be a top 10 offense. Drake May is good, and Romeo Doubs is someone who can help you out as a depth receiver. But Ray, you're going running back in this round, which I think is smart.
Rashad White, Washington. We're hoping Jaden Daniels elevates this offense. RB 39, pass catching role is what you're hoping that he seizes. Bill Kroski merits there, but it's not Derrick Henry, so there's a chance that Rashad White just like it's a 50-50 backfield split. It's all predicated on Jaden Daniels. We really don't know what David Blau is going to do as the new OC, but I think Rashad White came in for a reason, and hell, this is the same backfield that people chasing Chris Rodriguez last year. So I'm fine with Rashad White here in round 12 is that we're in? Yeah, round 12, Rashad White, I'm good.
All right, we are going to take our last break of the show. When we come back, we have our 13th, 14th, and 15th round favorite picks. We'll get into that right after this. All right, we're back. Our favorite picks in round 13, Ray Garvin. I have stuck the type here, and I've gone Jalen Coker, big slot receiver for the Carolina Panthers. Look, I'm in the middle of charting out his reception perception right now. This guy's a stud, dude. He's so good. Okay, he's a good football player. I get it. We got the Bryce Young question. I kind of looking at, like, Xavier Leggett got hurt in practice today. You know, we'll see. Maybe not serious, but Chris Braswell out for the year. It's going to be pretty concentrated between Tedrone McMillan and Jalen Coker. So I think you could do worse than a ceiling play here in round 13 at wide receiver. But you have a tight end off the board here. Rondae Gadsden, Chargers tight end. Why do you like Gadsden here?
I like Herbert and I like the offense. And I'm just not buying David Njoku and Charlie Cole. I'm just not buying it. I'm not buying it. You could tell.
I was gonna say you're not worried that he's gonna get snap mogged by Charlie Kolar.
Maybe I'm the crazy one here, but I'm just not buying that they're gonna take the converted receiver that's kind of masquerading around at tight end, and then he's not gonna play on the field with the receiving core. I love Herbert. I believe in the offense. I'm not that afraid right now of Charlie Kolar and David Njoku. So I like Gadsden, but I love Coker. And you would probably be shocked at where I've got Coker ranked. I've got him inside my top 40 receivers, Matt Harmon, inside my top 40. So I'm with you. I'm a fan. There's nobody else, man. It's McMillan and it's Coker. There's nobody else. It's McMillan and Coker. They don't even have a tight end.
No, Mitchell Evans, he's hurt. I can't believe it. Jatavion Sanders, he's hurt. I just can't believe I got like rankings mogged on Jalen Coker here. I got to look in the mirror and figure this out. I got to bump him up the rankings here. You know who I actually have ranked ahead of Jalen Coker, and I need to desperately fix this because I think this is a ridiculous pick by you here in the 14th round. Your favorite pick in round 14 is Xavier Worthy. I mean, come on, bro. What are we doing here? Tell the people why you like Xavier Worthy in round 14.
I knew you would say something. I'm looking at it. I'm thinking, hell, I'm about to say something. You know why I'm doing this? Because I don't think I got a fair shake last year. I just don't. He was hurt the first two snaps of the season, and it was just downhill from there. If Mahomes is back and they're going to throw the ball, I'm ready to have my soul, heart, everything ripped out of my body again. Damn it, Worthy, year three, I'm ready to be hurt again here in round 14.
Well, good thing he's already hurt in training camp with the shoulder injury is Xavier Worthy.
I have Coker ranked ahead of him, though. I do have Coker ranked ahead of him.
All right, well, that counts listen,
for anything.
It's more respectable than me. I will be making an immediate rankings update. I cannot have Xavier Worthy ranked ahead of Jalen Coker. I'm sure the comments are like, hey, idiot. One of these guys plays with Patrick Mahomes. The other one plays with Bryce Young. Pipe down, okay? We'll figure this out. All right, speaking of having no self-respect, my favorite pick in the 14th round is Jaden Blue, all right? So, listen, I can't believe two shows in a row I'm talking about why Jaden Blue is a great pick in the late rounds here, but he is, man. I mean, he's a great sleeper this year. There's talk out of Cowboys camp that he is crushing it, like, which is a total different tone change than what they were saying last year, the coaching staff, about Jaden Blue. Talked about the interview that Clayton Adams did on the Athletic Football Show with Robert Mays that I listened to, and he said the one thing he wasn't happy about that run game, was really happy with everything last year, except they were very low in the explosive play rankings. Jaden Blue is going to change that. I think he's going to get sprinkled in here, have a little bit of standalone value, but for the most part, one of the better insurance policies at running back if anything has to happen to Javonte Williams. And one of the themes of this show here, Ray, has been we want Cowboys in fantasy football, because this offense is going to smash this year. Speaking of smashing, one guy who used to do a lot of smashing is your favorite pick in round 15. Maybe not so much last year, but tell the people why you're in on Alvin Kamara in the year 2026.
See, the setup is you just make me feel, the setup, I was too strict to the rules, damn it. Listen, if I picked Kamara. I'm like, all right, round 15, I'll take a running back. He's still working with Travis Etienne or Achan and Kellen Moore, the offense. He still catches the ball. We know he's not going to run a ton, but the let's move on to yours. Kamara's fine.
No,
you've got the real guy. I like Kamara as a spell. He's going to be involved in the receiving game. He's still going to get a few touches, and the offense is supposed to be good. We're banking on a good New Orleans offense. He's still going to have a role, but it's not Kamara the pass, but I still kind of like him down here.
I'm giving you grief, bro, but I did spend a dollar in a salary cap draft to get Alvin Kamara at the Fantasy Football Expo a few weeks ago. So I'm actually kind of with you on him as a decent late round pick. Again, if you get behind a running back, you're building a zero RB. I do think it makes sense in that regard. But yeah, my favorite pick in the 15th round currently does not even have an ADP on Yahoo right now is Dazon Stribling. Like maybe he's got a little bit of an ADP now, but for the most part, he has not been drafted. And I think this guy is draftable in all formats, man. I mean, look, Ricky Pearsall out for the year. They brought Debo Samuel back. We'll see. Christian Kirk not projected to make the team, according to Matt Mayocco of the you know, he's been covering this 49ers forever, man. Like the Athletic, he's been there. So look, Stribling. Got to get healthy. Got to be out there. Got to avoid the electrical substation. But I know this guy's mostly been a meme, Ray, because like he's just people love to talk about him, the aggregators and everything. I think he can play a little bit and he can run the routes that are key in this offense, as I've talked about before. So, yeah, Stribling, just make sure he's your last pick of your draft and we'll stick him on the end of your bench and see what happens.
There was once a little known wide receiver playing inside the NFC West that got a lot of opportunity because there was a lot of injury on his team. And nobody wanted to buy in. Nobody wanted to believe it. And now that player is viewed as the best receiver in football. And I'm not saying Stribling's got that type of path, but if you saw Mike Evans run that deep whip route, if you're looking at Debo Samuel and expecting him to do things other than what he's already done throughout his career, you're fooling yourself. This offense is efficient. Brock Purdy is efficient. Sometimes opportunity just presents itself and the player's there to capitalize. If he's around in round 15, I'm picking him every single time.
Yeah, I mean, that offense is looking old and slow in San Francisco, and Stribling is young with a 91st percentile 40-yard dash 4.36 at the NFL Scouting Combine. So he can run. And he can run those crossing routes over the middle of the field that are key in this offense. So they picked him for a reason. They liked him. I kind of like them as a day two prospect as well. Ray Garvin, I love having you back on the show. Shout out to Ray Garvin. He is going to be here with me every Tuesday, pretty much until the end of time, buddy, all the way through football season. So I appreciate you jumping back as always, my friend. Really excited to have you this year.
Absolutely. Thanks, Matt. Look forward to it, baby.
As for us, we will be back tomorrow. Chris Allen joins me on the show here to build the all upside team. Yes, people on Twitter can't stop telling you upside wins championships. It is true. We're going to try to figure out all the best players that have all the upside tomorrow here on Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern on this very YouTube channel. So in the meantime, like the video, subscribe, leave me a comment. It's whatever you can say, whatever you want, but please subscribe to the channel and we'll see you guys tomorrow. Until then, we are out.